Welcome once again to By Grace Community Church. We are delighted that you guys are joining us this Sunday morning, this Lord's Day. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 16. We're engaged in a sermon series going verse by verse through the book of Exodus. Israel has at this point crossed through the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his armies have drowned. God's deliverance has been fully accomplished, and now Israel is wandering in the desert. God is with his people. God has saved his people, and God is in the process of sanctifying his people. As we have gone through just a little bit, we've seen and encountered moment after moment where Israel flounders and God provides. Israel grumbles and God provides. Israel whines and complains and disobeys and God provides. Time and time and time again. God is engaged in the process, having delivered Israel from Egypt. He must now deliver Egypt out of Israel. Their hearts, their minds, their expectations are saturated with wrong thought, rebellious attitudes. God must now take Egypt out of Israel. The nation knows not how to love God. The nation knows not how to serve God. And so as we come to these texts, let us always remember that we are Israel, that we are struggling with what they struggle with, that we grumble about the things they grumble about. I think there are times when we come to a text like this and we separate and distinguish ourselves from the people that we are reading about. My invitation to all of us once again this morning is to place ourselves in the moment, to feel, to think, to experience what it would be like to be there and what it is that God is teaching them, and therefore what it is that God is teaching us. I remind us that this is God's word, that this is spoken and given to us that we might hear it and receive it by faith. Exodus, starting in 16, verse 22. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning as you have taught us, asking for our daily bread. Lord, asking that you would provide for us, provide for our needs. Lord, we thank you for the provision even of this building to be able to gather in this space, to speak to each other, to sing and to have fellowship with one another. Lord, that is your abundant mercy at work. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, God, we pray that you would come and speak to us. And Lord, if we would hear you, you must give us ears. Lord, if we are to see you, you must give us eyes. Lord, if we are to love you, you must give us new hearts. So come, Holy Spirit, and testify to us. Come and bear witness to us of the power and presence of Jesus Christ. We ask in his name, the only name given among men, whereby we must be saved. And all God's people agree. Amen. Israelites are wandering through the wilderness. And they're grumbling because they're hungry. They're grumbling because their immediate needs have gone delayed at times. They're remembering Egypt through false memories. The people of God, we saw it last week, are starting to look back at the good old days of slavery. I'm going to say that again so the irony sinks in. The people of God are remembering fondly the good old days of slavery and oppression in Egypt. And so they're whining and complaining. And God hears their complaints and mercifully answers them. He provides quail in the evening and bread in the morning. Every day they are to go outside, and the early morning dew will somehow miraculously turn into mini crackers. Bread. And they're to collect that bread. Every day, collect that bread. And if they try and keep it overnight, what happens to it? It stinketh, right? As we saw last week, it becomes rotten and smells and maggots infest it. You'll see that translated worms today. So God is very clear that his people are to depend on him every single day for all their needs. And yet today, we're going to get an introduction in a new understanding of the mercy of God. It was referenced way back in 16, 4 and 5. I'm going to read this to you. This was from last week. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, they will prepare what they bring in. It will be twice as much as they gather daily. So what's the big deal? On the last day of the week, they're not to go out because the day before God provided double. Huh. every day rely on God, except the last day? Is the last day of the week not a day to rely on God? No. We're going to see this come to life starting in 22. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till morning, next day." God is introducing the pattern of rest for his people. Remember the good old days of slavery in Egypt? Pharaoh didn't give them a day to rest, did he? God's introducing a new concept for us right here in the wilderness. And that is that we do not have infinite capacities. That God has decreed for us rest. Is our culture a restful culture? Is our life a restful life? I must confess that over the last few months, I have lost sight of the rest of God. I don't mean the rest of God, as if I could comprehend all of him anyway. But many of you will say, "Hey, Kevin, how are you doing?" And I will say, "Busy." How are you doing? Tired. How are you doing? Exhausted. I've lost sight. I think we have a very strong tendency to live like Pharaoh masters us and not the Lord. Watch how this continues. "Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till morning." Verse 24. "So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it." The maggots never came. It's miraculous. On Monday, if you leave it overnight, maggots come. On the last day of the week, when you leave it overnight, no problem. You're going to find an earthly origin for this? You're going to try and figure out what bug laid what chemical on the leaf to create the cracker? No. These are magical crackers. There's no other way to read this. "Eat it today," Moses said. "For today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field." There's a key here that we lose sight of very quickly. Who's not going to work on the Sabbath? God is not going to work on the Sabbath. So you can go outside, look for the manna, but it won't be there. Why? Because God rests on the Sabbath. It's not just that he's instructing you like a taskmaster to do yet another thing. He's saying, "Look, I don't work on the Sabbath. I don't want you to work on the Sabbath. I want you to rest." And he's directly imaging the creation account. Yes? No matter how you define a day in Genesis, whether you see it as a 24-hour period or you see it as an era or an epoch or an age, I'm not interested in that right now. We can study that another time. But God is very clear that he works for 6 days and rests on the seventh day. And he's teaching us to be like him. He's teaching us that there's a created order for our life. We fancy theologians call this a creational ordinance. It's something that everyone on planet Earth should follow. We who are human beings made in God's image should partake in Sabbath rest, setting apart 1 day out of 7. So we can go outside the morning of the Sabbath, but there will be no manna to collect because God has already provided it the day before. He gave you double. 6 days, we're told in verse 26, you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. No manna on the Sabbath. No miracle. Sabbath morning. What does the word Sabbath mean? It means to cease and desist. It's the old cop line, right? Sir, you need to cease and desist. Police officer just told him to have a Sabbath. You need to rest. You need to stop your striving. You need to stop your rebelling. You need to cease. You need to desist. You need to rest. Perhaps never in the history of mankind has that command been less heeded than in our culture. You have a phone in your pocket that can play video games, that can surf the web, that can stalk all your friends to know what everybody's doing exactly right now. Thank you, Facebook. Your mind can honestly be obsessed all day, every day, with the anxieties, worries, and duties of your life. And even when we are called to rest, we don't even know how, if we're really honest. It's easy to just grab your phone and click on Facebook, grab the TV and let it wash over you. Throw in music. And not really consider the mercy and gift of rest. I'm as guilty as anyone in the room. Verse 27, on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. I'm sorry, was Moses vague about the rules here? Was he ambiguous? Did he say it in such a way that his meaning could be twisted and misunderstood? Double portion day 6, none on 7. Do you have to have a PhD in math to understand that command? No, my 4-year-old could do that, right? What's the problem? What's the disconnect? They don't trust God. Literally, they're not taking God at his word, right? God tells them tomorrow there'll be none. They still go out and they find none. Verse 28. So the Lord says to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Is that a harsh rebuke? Yeah. Why is God getting all persnickety on him, right? What's the deal? Why is this an offense to God? They just went outside because they were used to it. It was a habit. It's more than a habit. He just instituted this thing. This is the first Sabbath for for the wilderness, for the people of Israel in the wilderness. They didn't form a habit in 6 days that they're now just waking up sleepy-eyed without coffee going to get manna. They're either ignoring or mistrusting God's decree that there won't be any. Maybe they were faithless yesterday and they didn't collect a double portion. We don't know exactly why they went out, but we do know that God has a harsh response to this action. Verse 29, see, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, in the 6 day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain, each of you, in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the 7th day. Now, question. Is God trying to say you're not allowed to see your neighbor on Sundays or Saturdays? Is that what he's saying? So are you to look at the door of your house as a member of the nation of Israel and think to yourself, if I open that, God's angry? Is that the point? No. That's what we do as legalists. We hear it and we interpret it and make rules around it. Why? Because we don't really believe in the principle of why God's giving us a command. We just try and figure out how we can accomplish it. How we can take ownership of it, control it, regulate it, compare ourselves to all our neighbors. Why? So we can establish a righteousness of our own. I'm talking about Sabbath. And there are dozens of you in this room who are thinking in the back of your mind, look, the Sabbath is satisfied in Christ. We don't have to talk about this. Why are you talking about Sabbath? That's legalism, Kevin. Don't get your law all messed up in my grace. Right? We think like that, or in my vernacular, maybe you have a different wording. Don't should on me, Pastor. Sabbath is looking back at the created order. There's more happening than just that. The Sabbath is a gift. Rest. Rest itself is a gift that God gives his people because he loves them. On the 6th day, he gives you twice as much. Remain each of you in your place. Let no one go out of his place on the 7th day. It's not the door that's the problem. It's the disobeying the decree that's the problem. It's not trusting God's provision that's the problem. It's not trusting that God's ways are better than your ways. That God's ordering of your life is better than your ordering of your life. Flip with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 5. There are two places in the Old Testament where you can go to find the Ten Commandments. In a few years, we'll get to Exodus 20. A few months, we'll get to Exodus 20. And we'll see them and we'll go through them vigorously. But there's also a recap of the Ten Commandments found in Deuteronomy 5. And I want to take you there because I want this to come to life for you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Notice, you do not create its holiness. The Sabbath day is holy. It is given to you holy. When you take hold of it, God instructs you to keep it in the form to which he gave it. Or the form in which he gave it. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord, that's Yahweh, your God, commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant, your female servant may rest as well as you. Verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. It's right in Deuteronomy 5. It's right in the Ten Commandments. This is God's top 10 list. And it includes the gift of rest. And many of us leave that gift under the Christmas tree, unopened, wrapped, and on the shelf. But there's another element. It's not just about the weariness and fatigue of your body, the weariness and the fatigue of your mind, or even the weariness and the fatigue of intimate relationships. You're also forsaking remembrance. It's not just that you don't sleep enough. It's not just that you don't speak enough. It's not just that you don't sing enough. You don't worship enough. It's also that we don't remember from what we have been delivered. That's part of God's innate design for Sabbath rest. It's remembrance. It's remembering creation. It's remembering our deliverance from Pharaoh. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. What's the therefore focusing? It's focusing on remembrance. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Remember that the rest that you have been given was provided for you at great cost to God. You are precious to Him. But rest is also part of what He has rescued you for. See, what's amazing to us as we begin to understand God's design for Sabbath is that it's a remembrance of what has been true, but it's also a looking forward. It's a looking forward for the nation of Israel when they will step foot into Canaan, right? The manna only lasts 40 years, that's all. In the blip of human history, in the span of human history, it's just a blip on the screen. Probably felt agonizingly long to many of them. But it's just 40 years. It's also pointing ahead. The Sabbath rest points to Canaan, to the abundant provision. Well, there's a New Testament parallel for that. Flip with me to Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And you'll discover throughout the first several chapters in the book of Hebrews, rest is a main theme. The Hebrew author wants us to understand God's design for rest. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 9. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. It's a reference to the creation order. Verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The reality for us is that Sabbath rest is still for the church. Not legalistically. We don't get to judge each other. You didn't take a Sabbath today. Oh, my family always takes a Sabbath. Oh, aren't you so holy? Right? And we start ranking and prioritizing who's spiritual and who's not. And no. All that stuff is a mess. It's garbage. Throw it away. But the design of 1 and 7 set apart for worship is for us as well. We remember the resurrection. They remembered the Red Sea. We remember the resurrection. Our salvation is secured on the cross of Christ. And in the resurrection, we have both the memory that it is finished and that God's stamp of approval is on it, but also it reminds us that though the new covenant has been inaugurated, it is not yet consummated. We long for the day when Jesus comes back. We long for the day of glory. And glory is described by the Hebrew author in chapter 4 as Sabbath rest. There's work to be done. There's a world to evangelize. There are nations who don't have the scripture translated for them yet, right? There is much for us to do. There is much work for the church to be done. Go into all the earth and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you to the end of the age. God is with us in this endeavor, but he also has decreed a Sabbath rest for us along the way, because it reminds us of what Christ has accomplished and it points ahead to his return, which is what we're laboring for anyway. So I have the privilege of asking you the question, why don't you rest? Why don't we Sabbath as a people? I think in many ways, we don't know how. We don't know where to begin. We don't know what to do, right? Doesn't fit our category of do's and don'ts. We're going to legalize it, right? We're going to create a legalistic attitude around it. This is prohibited. This is required. When God decrees rest, so we're going to strive in our resting. It's the American way. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The design of God is for our Sabbath rest. Now, some will say the Sabbath was initially given as a Saturday. Why do we meet and have church on a Sunday? Good question. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 gives us the answer for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. They moved it from Saturday to Sunday to honor the day of resurrection, to honor the day that the Lord was resurrected. And then they changed the name. They no longer called it, in the life of the early church, the Sabbath day, because that created confusion with all of the Jewish culture, right? Sabbath is a Saturday, so why do you call it Sunday Sabbath? You don't. We see in Revelation 1:10 that the Sabbath is now called the Lord's Day. And we can remember it as such. It's the Lord's Day. Why do we call it that day? Because we celebrate the resurrection. It's the Lord's Day. Does that mean Tuesday God's not sovereign over? No. It means that 1 in 7 we set apart for special worship, for true rest. Philip Ryken, professor of theology at Westminster Theological Seminary, says it this way. He says, to worship God is to rest in God's grace. And to show mercy is to extend God's rest to those who are weary. Catch it? To worship God is to rest in God's grace. And to show mercy is to extend God's rest to those who are weary. Let us always remember what Jesus himself taught us. That Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath rest is not one more thing you do that your neighbors don't that proves you're better than they are. It's not a design. It's not for sideways comparison. Sabbath is a gift that God gives his people because he's not Pharaoh. Sabbath is a gift that God gives us because we need it. And it's not just a product of the fall. It's not just that you have bodies that grow weary and need rest. It's not just that you have bodies that get tired and need to be refueled and re-energized. The design of 1 in 7 points all the way back to pre-fall. God always wanted us to know this about his nature and about his character. Verse 30 of Exodus 16. So the people rested on the seventh day. Verse 31. Now the house of Israel called its name manna, which literally means, what is it? They named it, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. And then we're told it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. The Lord's bread is sweet to taste. Your Sabbath is designed to be sweet. Your rest is designed to be sweet. That's why Jesus instructs us to pray every day for daily bread. And the reality is, if we're ordering Monday through Saturday correctly, we will have more than enough provision for Sunday. More than enough. Jesus himself says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And that rest is ongoing rest. As we cease to strive from our attempts at righteousness on our own, as we cease from attempting to please God out of our flesh, we're invited to rest from our striving. We, as Christians today, are to remember the finished work of Christ, the dying gasp of our Savior as he suffocates and dies on the cross was, "It is finished." We do not accomplish our own salvation. We can't. We're unable. He has done it for us and invites us to trust in his provision. It's the same reason why they weren't to go outside on the Sabbath morning to collect manna. They'd already been given it. And they didn't trust God's decree. And God gets angry. We are to remember the finished work of Christ. And lastly, that work of Sabbath resting is designed to point us to the future consummation of the new covenant. We work hard because Christ is coming back, and we rest because we look forward to the day when Christ comes back and we enter in to an eternal rest. Amen? So may we never judge one another. May we never judge why we rest. But may we search our hearts and clear our schedules that we can truly honor God by remembering from what we have been delivered and by longing for the promised land that we were delivered for. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, we come to you this morning asking you for rest, knowing that you have provided it, knowing that you have come and that you have given all that we need. You have spoken to us. You have accomplished what you have asked of us. And you invite us to come and trust. And yet, Lord, we are as rebellious as Israel was. Lord, we confess that we seek to master our own lives. Lord, we confess that we prefer to be busy than holy. So come, Holy Spirit. Come and bring conviction. Come and pour out forgiveness. Come and give us rest. And teach us how to Sabbath. Teach us the joy of Sabbath. Lord, we ask that you would move in our hearts, that we would be a working church when it is time to work, and that we would be a resting church when it is time to rest. Your word is clear. You have delivered us that we would worship you. Come, Lord Jesus, and teach us to worship you all the days of our life. It's in your name we pray. And all God's people agree. Amen. Amen.